Howdy all, it's Shane. Welcome to the In The Blues Tone podcast. Today we're going to be taking a look at a few different topics and suggestions, as well as some questions from the In The Blues forum at intheblues.net. If you're not already a member of the community over there, definitely check it out. I got asked a question from Freaking Prawn, who's actually from Portugal, who asked me a couple of questions about the Fender Mustang amps, and I thought I'd put this together in a podcast because that way I can explain it a little bit easier than sort of typing it out to everyone all the time. So if you are interested in the Mustang amplifiers, this is a bit of a frequently asked questions that Freaking Prawn has put together for me. So anyway, let's take a look at these. So the first question is, how does it take dirt pedals in front of it, meaning the Mustang amplifiers? Now, this is a bit of a mixed question. I think it takes pedals like Tube Screamers really well and distortion pedals. The ones that tend to color the sound more, they'll sound fine. Do they sound better than the built-in effects? Not really, no. I did an A-B test between the Tube Screamer preset and an actual Tube Screamer, and I couldn't really hear any difference. I didn't see there really being a benefit other than the one benefit of being able to basically toggle the controls really quickly. That's the only thing. If you want to adjust the Tube Screamer that's built into the Mustang, you have to go over to the amp and sort of fiddle with it that way. That's probably the only downside to using the built-in effects. The other thing I didn't like about some external effects, like the Klon works best pushing an already dirty amp or, you know, pushing a tube amp over the edge. And it didn't do that at all with the Mustang. It's not a tube amp, so it's not going to give you a very pleasant sound. I didn't like that particular effect on the amplifier at all. But Tube Screamers and, say, a DS1 distortion pedal by Boss or something like that, they'll all sound fine through the amp. If you do want to set it clean and use your pedals, go ahead. But if you're using a volume boost pedal or stuff like that, it doesn't sound as pleasing as it would through a tube amp. Just use the effects that are in the amp. That would be my suggestion. Get one of those four button foot switches and done. You can set it and forget it. That's what I love about that. He also says, how does it take pedals on the effects loop? Great. I've used reverb, I've used delay, chorus, all of those through the effects loop when I do my demos. There's a couple of demos that I've used the Mustang for, and yeah, it sounds fine. I have no problems using that at all. The next question was, would I recommend it for amp emulations alone, so without using the effects? Yes. Yeah, the Supersonic preset's great. The Tweed presets are awesome. If you just want an amp you can use your volume control on your guitar and still get great tones, then you can use it that way as well. You don't need to use the overdrive effects. They're just there, you know, to complement your sound and make it better. If you choose to use it that way, better meaning more diverse, I guess, as well. So you can use it as, you know, an amp on its own with no pedals or no effects or presets on the patches, or you can add reverb, you can add delay, you can add tremolo or whatever you like. And yeah, it's pretty sweet. You can use it whichever way works best. So the next question is there a benefit to using the Fuse software over just using the amp and the, you know, built-in controls to get the different types of tones that you want from the amp? I find it's easier using the Fuse software. I find that looking at the screen and seeing what order I have things in the virtual effects loop is a lot easier that way. And yeah, it's a good tool for tweaking. If you already have a sound that you like, then there's no reason to use the Fuse software. If you just want to fiddle around and see visually what the different amps look like and make a correlation between like Marshall amps and Vox amps and all that stuff that's built in there as well, then definitely use the Fuse software. You don't need to use it though. It's just a little bit easier for certain things. Organizing your pedals and all that kind of stuff can be a little bit easier on the Fuse software, but you can do it fine on the amp. So if you just got the amplifier and you don't have access to the net, or your computer doesn't work with USB or whatever, then you don't need it. You absolutely don't need it. You can just use the amp. Most of the presets actually that I've made were by ear, just literally by playing and then tweaking the amp and playing again. So yeah, I save them that way. Then I dump them into the computer or have a look at them on the computer and tweak them further if I need to. But yeah, you can absolutely get a great sound out of them without having to use the Fuse software. So the last question is, can you record directly from the Mustang to your computer, or do you need a sound card? You still do need a sound card to record. all the software does, or not all it does, but the thing that it does is it's basically like a computer on-screen visualization of the little LCD screen that's on the amp. So you're getting it in full color. It's basically just the amp talking. You're talking to the amplifier via a nice, you know, user interface. That's all that is. It's not like a USB hardware, you know, audio interface to be able to record. It doesn't do that at all. So the Mustang is most definitely not a sound card, but it does have USB connectivity just for the software that it comes with. Another advantage, though, of the Mustang is you can record via the XLR outputs on the back to a sound card, and you actually get a really nice emulated amplifier sound. I think it sounds fantastic, and yeah, I've used that on a few of the demos as well. So a huge thanks to Freaking Porn for the questions. I absolutely appreciate that. It was sent to my inbox on intheblues.net on my forum, so definitely check that out if you're not already a member. The community's growing big time, and I'd like to thank everybody for being a part of that already. Up next, I wanted to have a chat about the holy grail of clean tone. I believe I found it. I should preface this by saying that anything that I talk about from here on out on this part of the podcast is 100% opinionated, and I just came to this conclusion through experience with the amplifiers that I've owned in the past in comparison to the brand new Fender Super Reverb amplifier that I got. Man, that thing is, to my ear, the holy grail of clean tones, and I love it. I think it sounds every bit as good as I hoped it would, and more. I mean, it's just left all the other amps I've had in the past for my style of music for dead. I've owned twins, and I know a lot of people love Fender twins. For me, they're a little bit hard sounding. I'm not a country player, I'm a blues player. I like being able to turn up the amp and get it to that point where it's about to clip or where it clips, and then I can chuck a pedal on in front of that and it goes to town. I love that about the Super Reverb. It just has a full, sweet, lush kind of sound about it that I've never had on an amp. And I'm just going to read off a couple of other amps that I've had in the past, and just so you can, you know, put this in context to how I feel about this amp. I've had a Fender Twin, a Fender Blues DeVille, the 212 model, a 65 Deluxe Reverb, a 68 Deluxe Reverb, a Hot Rod Deluxe, two Fender Blues Deluxe amplifiers, two different two-rock amplifiers, and a Supersonic 60, which was fantastic as well, the Vox AC30, and a VC30 by Laney. Now, I've had other amps as well, but they're the ones that I can recall from off the top of my head from this list that I've got here. They're the other amps that I would put in the same category of like price and all that kind of stuff, you know, like you expect good things from them and you get good things from them. So I don't want to dismiss those other amps. The Super Reverb is a very different amplifier to, say, a 65 Deluxe Reverb. And I only mean that in basically because of the speaker configuration, the tube configuration. It's got a different power section. It's got that big, fat 6L6 sort of sound to it, which I absolutely love. And that's why I went back to the Fender Blues Deluxe reissue recently, because it has that big, big sort of warmth about it on the lows. I love the clean channel on that amp. The 65 Deluxe Reverb amp has the 6L6 tubes, great tone, nice and portable, light, you know, a very different amp. I guess one of the downsides of a Super Reverb is the size for some people. A lot of people will feel that it's a bit big. It's not really that heavy. I don't think it's any heavier. I haven't checked the actual weight ratios or anything, but I don't think it's much heavier than, or if it is heavier than a Supersonic 60. It would be a very similar weight, except it's a lot taller. So, you know, it's a different thing when you pick it up. It's sort of closer to the ground, or at least for a short ass like me, it's closer to the ground when you pick it up. I just get it around on a little trolley, and it's no worries at all. But for me, that's the clean tone I've been looking for. It's got the nicest reverb sound I've heard on any amplifier. It sounds wet and round in all the nice ways. And yeah, just getting the volume up to 4, 4.5 to 5 at a gig recently totally blew my mind and absolutely changed my playing. I played with a lot more self-control, I guess, just hearing great tone. I played one note and it hung around. You know, it takes pedals great. The one thing I noticed probably more than anything is even when you stack an overdrive in there that sometimes will roll out your highs, these 10-inch speakers do something really cool that I haven't had on any other amp. They sort of still give you the note clarity. And for me, that's, you know, that's pretty special. You can hear all your notes, even with a bit of drive or distortion or overdrive, whatever. You're still going to get your nice sort of attack on the note. So Super Reverb for me, holy grail of amps. Back to a, you know, another Fender amp. This is one that I already know I'm going to have for a very, very long time, unless, you know, I'm desperate for cash. But yeah, I see this as an investment. It's going to be the amp that I can take to gigs, that I can just wheel it in. I'm not going to carry it up a flight of stairs or anything like that, but it's going to be around. You're going to see it in a lot of live video clips that I use, which brings me to the next point. If you have a holy grail of clean tone, please let me know what it is. Leave all your comments below. And yeah, if you're on YouTube, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And yeah, you know, I love Fender amps. I'm a huge fan of all of them. And I should also say that the Fender Super Reverb isn't like a better amplifier, put that in quotation marks, than some of these other ones that I mentioned. It's just my personal preference. I absolutely love it. This, you know, a Deluxe Reverb is such a great amp. I could use that any day of the week as well, for example. So it's just a different speaker configuration, tube configuration, all that kind of stuff. So let me know what you think is the holy grail of clean tones. So coming up on the In The Blues podcast, I've actually got some interviews lined up. There's a couple on the way and one to be confirmed still, so I won't give that one away. But one that I'm going to give away right now is I sent Brian Wampler an email and he replied and he'd love to be on the podcast, which is awesome. So thanks to that, Brian. I absolutely appreciate that. Wampler pedals, you know, basically like an industry standard for a lot of guys. They're fantastic. They make some of the best sounding pedals around. And some of the most unique as well. They generally have a few different options on them than a lot of pedals out there. Brian's also worked with guys like Brad Paisley to make signature pedals and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to have a non-technical discussion about, you know, I guess the music industry as a whole and the pedal industry and just stuff like that. And maybe talk about tone and what inspired him to do what and all that kind of stuff. So a huge shout out and thanks to Brian Wampler for accepting that. And we're going to organize that, you know, at a time that's convenient for him. And I'm really looking forward to having a chat with him as well. And if you're watching this on YouTube and you can recommend someone that might want to be on the In The Blues Tone podcast, if you'd want to be on it as well, you let me know, send me an email, and yeah, I'll get back to you as soon as possible, or leave a comment on YouTube as well about who you'd like to see on the podcast, and I'll reach out to them and have a chat. It's going to be fun. I want to do a bit more of this towards, well, from here on out to the end of the year. So you'll be seeing more podcasts go up on YouTube as well as the ones that go through to iTunes. So if you're not already a subscriber on iTunes, go to the podcast section and just type in The Blues. And if you also have an Android device, you can also find it on there via the Podcast Republic app. I made sure that's all working now, so you can definitely listen to that. I want to give everyone an update on the documentary as well. Day one is completely filmed and it's on the computer and it looks really, really cool. A huge thanks to my friend Dave for being a part of that as well. I do have two more days to film. I had a piece of gear breakdown, which absolutely sucks. It's expensive to replace. It kind of works. So some days it'll work. Other days it just doesn't turn on. It's one of those kind of things. So I'm going to look at trying to get another one of these wireless lav kits for my cameras, because it's almost impossible to do a documentary without one wireless mic. At least it's just really frustrating to have to sync up, you know, different audio clips together. It can be a bit of a process, so I'm definitely going to look at getting another one of them down the track. And yeah, hopefully day two and three are done, you know, I'd like to say by the end of next month, July, and I should have it done maybe by October or November, December maybe, depending on how the editing goes. Already this one is a lot tidier than my last one, just from what I can tell from viewing the videos. It's shot on tripods. It definitely looks and feels, you know, I guess when you're indoors, it's a lot easier to film than it is when you're outdoors with a lot of ambient noise and all that kind of stuff. I learned so much doing the last documentary about the jam nights, which was fun, and I thank everybody for being a part of that. And this new one is just, I'm hoping it takes it to the next level. I have a friend helping me with the video camera, and she's doing a great job. Everything looks good and sounds great. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting the gas documentary done. So I'll keep everybody updated as to the progress of that. And once it's done and ready to go, the more people that can share it, the better. I think it's going to be one of those things that a lot of guitar players and, you know, anyone who suffers from gas can appreciate. So more on that to come as it gets closer to being completed. Thanks so much. My name's Shane. If you want to hear all the podcasts, you can go to iTunes or an Android app and type in The Blues, and you can definitely listen to all the podcasts so far and subscribe to that. You can also head over to guitarpedaldemos.com, which is my old website, but I update that consistently with reviews and all that kind of stuff as well. All the podcasts are hosted there. And it's a little WordPress site, so you can comment on stuff there too. Don't forget, you can head over to facebook.com/intheblues, which is my Facebook page, and the brand new forum at intheblues.net. If you are looking for a new pedal or something like that, definitely check out my shop at intheblues.com.au. It's a lot of websites now. I apologize for that, but yeah, everything serves its purpose. And I should note, definitely hang out, because I'm working on some really cool lesson videos that I'm piecing together slowly. I've done sort of some prep work for it. I've just got to work out some camera angles and things that I want to make this as good as I can. So yeah, if you're looking for some lessons down the track, hang about. They're coming. Thanks again. Catch you soon.